Blog Talk Radio.
Rounding the Red Sea.
什么？要是软了，哎呀，阿拉哈呀那哇，哎呀，什么要是完了，哎呀，阿拉海那哇，什么要是软了，哎呀，阿拉海那哇，
Shalom, shalom, family, and welcome to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, GOCC's first women's show designed with you in mind. Carol, can you hear me out there?
Yes, I can, loud and clear.
Wonderful. All righty. So the first two musical interludes that you heard are the Song of Moses, Exodus 15 in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm your host, Sister Shirley. Co-hosting is Sister Carol. Are you out there?
Absolutely.
Still out there? All righty.
And I see,
good. I think I see Sister Aura. Are you out there, Sister Aura?
Shalom.
Waiting on a couple of other folks to chime in. But all right, then. We are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of the roundtable, to ask a question, to make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage and click on www.blogtalkradio.com/GOCC Church.
Amen.
You can also reach out to us in private email at restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. That's restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. We've got a little bit of a treat for you today. Something that we decided to do with our mailbox. And we are going to share some things with you that we've been asked to share. But before we go any further, I'm going to ask Sister Carol if you want to bring us before the throne of grace. I could use some prayer right now. How about you?
I can always use some prayer.
Amen.
I think we all face challenges constantly during the day. Mm-hmm. And probably the only time we don't is when we just wake up in the morning, because I tell you,
amen.
It starts the moment.
His mercies are new.
You know, the moment those eyes pop open.
Oh my God.
For some of us, it's in our sleep. We're being harassed. I get text messages from sisters all the time saying that they've been harassed through the night in their dreams and wake up with a troubled spirit.
I could tell you that last night before we went to bed, we watched Black Wall Street Story. I forget the name of it. And it troubled my spirit. when I saw our brothers hanging from the tree. It's not like we haven't seen it before, but for whatever reason, it troubled my spirit unreasonably. And right. then on top of that, we were just kind of laying here, and then my husband clicked on some movie, and it was some kind of a vampire something, and I'm telling you,
I'm telling you,
it just, the reason too is that that's really what's going on right now, you know, mm-hmm. that people are being turned into these things. They may not look like it, feel like it, see it, but if you're not walking with God, you've been bitten by a different bug, you know, mm-hmm. and you're doing mm-hmm. things that you might not want to do. Like Paul said, the good that I would do, I do not, because evil is present. And
it's present.
So I went to sleep, and in my dreams, nightmares was coming. I woke up, and I was in anxiety. Literally, and I had to pray and ask the Most High to bring me up out of that, and I got my scriptures out and what have you, had to calm down because I was not at peace. So I get what you're saying, Carol. I get what you're saying. Yeah. We're such a fragile life sort, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father. Our Father, we come to you tonight with our heads bowed, our eyes turned towards you, Lord. We're asking you, first of all, we want to thank you. We always
mm-hmm.
must thank you
mm-hmm.
for all that you've given us, all that you've done for us.
Mm-hmm.
You've done so much. We have to thank you when we are tried also, Father. That's something that we always forget, is to thank you, because on the other side of the trial is strength.
Mm.
Strength and happiness, it says that weeping may endure for the night,
mm.
but joy comes in the morning. So we thank
mm.
you for the morning, Father. We thank you for the joy that we know is at the end of the tunnel. Lord, you said that in the last days, perilous times shall come upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one way we can recognize that these are the
mm-hmm.
last days, because
these are perilous times. Mm-hmm.
We're seeing things that we never thought we would see. And we're asking you tonight, Father, in reference to this program, in reference to our lives, and in reference to our families, to bless it, Father, to let edification come upon us, that we may continually move from daughters of Babylon to daughters of Zion, from Babylon to Zion. That's our motto, Father. Father, we thank you so much that we have some people who are willing to stand together with us as we try to help one another through this crisis.
Amen.
As we strip off Babylon and try to wear Babylon as a loose garment that we can drop to the floor at any time. As we try to reduce all the materialistic things we have and all the mental things that belong to Babylon, that we can pick up the holy garment that you tell us to put on, Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're reminded every day who is in charge
protected at the front
and what the end game is, Father. Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise your wonderful name, and we're asking that if anyone has needs a touch in their body tonight,
mm-hmm.
to even call in and ask us to pray with them, Father, because
mm-hmm.
you said one or two together,
mm-hmm.
two or three,
mm-hmm.
we shall be in the midst, Father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we thank you, we praise your wonderful name, in the name of Ahaya, Bashem, Yeshayah, Wawawak, we pray, Amen.
Amen, Amen, Amen. I was looking at that 2 Timothy 3:1, and it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And so I did look up that perilous time. Perilous, the word perilous involved, it says, involving a full of grave risk or peril, hazardous, dangerous. So, you know, the thing is that these perilous times that the Most High is warning us about, they're here. They're
yes,
here.
It is.
And so, you know, what's that song? Ooh, child, things are going to get easier. It's not.
Not true. Not true.
Easier. It's getting worse. It's getting
it says
worse.
Right now. Uh-huh. Right now.
Exactly.
Right
exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
Right. Okay,
oh,
baby.
My God. So I think that I wanna go through. Hold on one second. I just want to bring her in also. I see Sister Betty out there. Sister Betty, shalom. Sister Betty, how are you?
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Okay. All right. But I did want to say that we have some responses to our last show where we were talking about anger and the difference between anger and hate or anger versus hate, or is anger hate, and what have you. And based on the fact that we're dealing with these perilous times, even though they are perilous, there's a lot of hurt that comes. That how do we deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
People are asking those questions. How do we deal with it? Deacon Shamal was preaching last Sabbath. And he talked about how, if I remember correctly, it was either Peter or Paul, that he was literally sawed in half with a wooden saw. And that's how he was martyred out of here. Now, what does that mean? You know, because the scripture says no hurt, no harm will come to you. You're going to be okay. But that's our physical bodies. In this flesh, we are going to hurt. That's really what that means. That hurt is going to come. And so how do we manage that hurt is the question. How do we manage it? So I just want to read a couple of notices that came in, okay? And one says, and I'd like for everyone to chime in and give their thoughts on some of these things, because none of us are experts. Some of you guys know more than we do, you know, or have been through more than we have, or might have a word in season for someone. But let me just start out with Sister Shirley Carroll. My daughter, who I love dearly, speaks to me in a disrespectful way. She does not use foul language, but she speaks to me like I am her peer, but not even a friend. I usually let it go, but I have been going through something with my husband, and I just can't keep ignoring this. I usually can't even stand the... Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I usually talk it over with fellow believers for strength, but right now, I can't even stand the sound of her voice. What
wow.
can I do? What can I do? My spirit is troubling me. She is my only daughter, and I don't want this kind of relationship with her. Any commentary? Anyone?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a hard place. Yeah. It's a hard place. You know, Mommy used to always say, no serpent's tooth is sharper than that of an ungrateful child. And then sometimes our children, even though they are all grown up, she doesn't say whether this child is or not, but when they're all grown up, it's still hard to see them as anything other than that little girl I raised, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that. So it's like, how do we push past something like this? Because in this generation, sometimes talking to the child only makes it worse. Have you found that in some instances that when you go and talk to some of the children that they don't get what you're saying? This is what I'm hearing, that they, when you talk to them about the issues that you're dealing with, they don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, so the acting,
there's a difference in talking at them and to them. You know,
okay.
I wonder if she's tried to have a heart-to-heart talk with her.
Because
you know, she's got to talk to her.
Yeah,
that is the only way they're going to get it. They're going to resolve those issues about is heart-to-heart talk, and it has to be loving. She has to be her daughter, you know.
Well, she mentioned that she's going through something with her husband also. She's probably on edge.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you're going through something with your husband, things can be blown out of proportion. Or with whoever. If you're going through something on your job, sometimes anybody that says anything to you can be... can set you off. So what do we do in a case like this? Can we do?
And also you have to look at the child itself. If the child is a child, I don't know. If it's a woman, that person could be going through some with their husband or, in life in general. This is such a pressing time. Some folks are going through financial challenges, and is directed at the wrong person.
This is very true. And
that person is just simply getting hit with something that someone else should get hit with, if you know what I'm saying. Because we assume that she's angry with her mom, and she could be angry with her husband.
Or she could be angry with herself.
Or her children. Yeah.
That is true. But the one thing that's why I was glad you mentioned that scripture, that these are perilous times, hard to deal with. They're not simple right now, these times. And so what I find is go spend some time in prayer. Because that's the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's the only strength that we're going to have to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. That's all I see here, because sometimes what comes out of our mouth is going to be the wrong thing that we say to them. Because like you mentioned, whose problem is this? Is it her husband? Is it the daughter's husband? Is it the children? Is it some other person? Is it the spirits that are around us that are playing us like a chess game? You know what I mean? Just bringing in drama. And if we all, it's not simple. Because I know myself, you want to fight back. You want to get mad. You wanna retaliate because this is my child. How dare you rise up? How dare you?
Right.
That's our pride rising up in us.
Right.
But these are perilous times. Go ahead, Carol.
Right.
I'm sorry.
This is Sister Aura. I'm sorry. The only thing I've kind of found in situations like that is you just have to start singing songs of praise to the Most High.
Okay.
So when you start praising Him, it changes things somehow. It changes the way you feel inside. It may not change the person who's antagonizing you, but somehow those spirits have to get back at bay. Because are calling on the Most High. You are praising Him. So, you know, what does it say? Greater is He that is that is in us than he that is in the world. So
these are
things that we have to keep bringing these things to mind, because this too shall pass, you know, and
that's what we also have
to understand, that this too shall pass, because it said that these times were going to come. And he said if you keep the focus on him, you know, he would give you that peace. And you just
that's
keep
right.
on praising him, you will get that peace.
That's right.
That's right. And then you brought that up because the scripture does say, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And that that spirit, when people are aggravating you and mistreating you, that's a spirit of heaviness. I'm going to tell you right now.
Is.
That spirit is so heavy. It's so heavy that you can't rest. You can't rest.
You can't try.
And so if you can, if you even if you don't know how to sing, start praising God.
Right. Praise
start
him. Go look in the book of Psalms and lift up, you know, there's some Psalms in there that they can help you to praise him, you know.
Yes. We got a caller that's coming in. Let's see what the caller wants to add to that.
Okay, before you bring the caller in, let's just read Isaiah 61:3 since you mentioned it.
Go ahead.
It says,
go ahead.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. I should have read the scripture above it. We see.
Go ahead.
We just started from, you know, from the beginning of that chapter. It says, the 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And this is the verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
And I do want to say that I'm going to bring in the caller, but I do want to say don't think for 5 minutes that this stuff doesn't hurt. It does. It does hurt. And you're not alone. We are hurting, but we've got to learn how to hurt. Okay, and I guess what that long suffering means. Area code 313, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Hello, Daughters of Zion. This is Jackie from Detroit.
Chalawan, Jackie, how are you?
Doing?
All is well, all is well.
I love how the Holy Spirit moves, and I want to say to the young lady, I don't know who it is, but it's me too. You know, you're not alone. Today, I think it's so important for I have four adult kids whom I homeschooled, nursed, and all of that, my husband and I. And I have one that's disrespectful. She goes back and forth. And what I do, I practice just giving them back to the Lord. I practice forgiveness. Trying to keep my heart clean, keep my heart right before God, and just really acknowledging him before I'm careful what I say to them. Because, you know, the word of God is a two-edged sword. So I'm always asking the Lord, what are you doing in me? What is this? Why? Why am I going through this? I don't, it's like a curveball. Like, my kids were almost perfect growing up, but when they went off to college and came back, they came back different. And I had one, when she met a young man, it changed. She separated herself from the whole family. Today in particular has been really hard for me. So I'm really asking you guys to just pray that I just hear from God and get his wisdom on this situation. It's been really, really heavy for me today because it's my daughter's 23rd birthday. I had her at home, and she doesn't speak. She doesn't talk to me. She has my first two grandbabies. The second one I've never met. This one she didn't allow me to come. I've done everything. I've humbled myself. I've done everything. So lately I've just been had this posture of just being still and just, and the Lord hasn't told me to do anything. It's like, I don't know what else to do. Sometimes you don't know
Amen.
What to do, and we have to just
That's
wait
right.
on Him. And I've been
just
waiting, and in that waiting sometimes it's hurtful, it's painful. Today has been so hurtful, it's been so painful. It, you know, having had such a close family and having purpose in every day of my life to please the Lord. And then, you know, you never think, wow, when that scripture says that He's going to separate daughter from mother, you don't really put yourself in that. Like, this was such a curveball for me. So I'm telling you, a lot of people are obviously going through this. The Holy Spirit, He knew. I called in. I was like, I hope they're on the line. I just needed this, like, so bad.
Let's ask God for prayer right now. Let's just stop and ask the Most High to heal you right now, to give us the strength to deal with these. Sister Aura, could you take us before His throne and pray for the sister right now and the rest of us that are silently going through this stuff? Go ahead, and then, sister, we'll allow you to continue to say, but we don't want to forget. Go ahead, Kish Aura.
Right. Merciful Father, we know, Father, that You are looking down at us right now, Lord, and You have sent this sister here for some type of solace, Father, just some peace, Father.
Peace.
And Lord, I think she said her name was Sister Jackie, Father, but You know all about it, Lord. Sometimes we have to just sit back, Lord, and rest in You, Father, because we pray, Lord, that You will give her that peace, Father, because she is not alone. There's so many of us women that are going through this, Lord, and we know that this is nothing but Satan trying to get us off the track, Lord. And Lord, You said that we are going to have to take up our cross and follow You. Regardless of what's going around, we still have to remember where our focus is, Lord, and remember how to be loving and kind despite everything that's going on and how people talk to us, Father. We still know we love these children, Father.
That's right.
But, Father, we're asking You to wrap Your arms of love around her, Father.
Yes.
And, Father, we're just so grateful that she did call in, Father, because sometimes we don't have anybody to call, Father.
That's right.
But tonight she did, Father. So we thank You for that, Lord. And we thank You because I think everyone on this phone tonight can attest to this, Lord, that she's not alone, Father. But we know that You are greater than all of that, Father. You said we would have perilous times in the end. And we shouldn't even think that there's something strange that's going on, because this is just a sign of the times, Father. So Lord, but we know that even though it is a sign, it still hurts, Father. So we just pray that You send, you know, just comfort her, Lord. And we know that You can do it, Father, because You know all things, Father. And Sister Jackie, we just want to thank You so much for calling in. And the writer of that email as well, Father, we pray that You will give her the comfort she needs, Father. Give her the wisdom to know when to just be quiet, Lord, because sometimes You're just telling us to just be quiet, Lord, because sometimes it's not about us, Father, and we don't realize that, Father, but it hurts so bad, Father, but You know all about it, Father. So we just thank You and we praise You, Father. We give all the praise to You, Father, because You said You live in the praises of Your people, Father. Help us to remember that we need to just praise You, Father. And
thank you
in everything. For You said all things work for the good for them that are called by You, Father.
In
Shia's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Jackie, go ahead. Now, Sister Jackie, I just want to say to you before you continue that when you said sometimes you just sit quiet, I'm telling you, that's a beautiful spirit right there. Because that's one hard thing to do. The scripture says to study to be quiet. And many of us need to do that. But to quiet our spirit, something to quiet that spirit. Because sometimes you get so angry, like this sister said in the email. You're angry because you're hurting me. You know, I love you. You're my child. I raised you. Some of these people, just like you, were taken care of. But I would guess I'd rather hear my daughter talking fresh than to not talk to me at all. But I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sister.
Yeah.
Say,
Yeah.
I must say that being quiet helps you get the revelation of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we must know that and remember that our children are dealing with this abomination out here.
A lot of them
will get exposed to that, and they will start to get confused, and they become ashamed and angry for no reason because they have been enticed, and they don't want nobody to know. So. We have to get it revealed and ask the Most High to reveal it to us.
Amen.
Sister Jackie, you want to say anything else? Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter how you go to your kids. They still come the same way. So you can go to them the right way. You can go to them the wrong way. They're under such an influence of the enemy of this.
We are.
Is on the brain. It's like that's my one daughter that's here from school. She's just always on the phone with her friends. And I say, well, why don't you try to connect with the family? And she's like in a trance, like just on the phone with her friends. And she just doesn't see it. So I find myself, I love on her real tough. Even though, you know, she don't love on me, she'll love, you know, it's based on what I do. So, but I find myself just like loving on her. And honestly, if it was not for the Most High in my life and being the center of my life, being my life, being my purpose, I could not make it through this, and I know. And so that's the real key, is to really stay in His presence, because, you know, it says to be angry and sin not. That means don't retaliate. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. He will repay. And what I tell my kids, that I don't serve the consequences, but there are consequences for your behavior. This behavior is not acceptable. And it's the foundation. I think what happened with my kids, they got away from their foundation. The foundation is there. It's there. The word is in them because I put it in them. Their dad put it in them. At a young age, even before they were born, they were prayed over. They were, you know, that was my whole purpose of homeschooling them, so that they can have a Christ-like foundation. That foundation is there, but they're not standing on it. They chose another foundation. They done built something artificial. And it's just caused so many issues, you know. But
that's interesting, sis, but I'm sure they will. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sis.
No, I'm just saying this car is really a blessing. I had no idea we would be, like, even talking on anything close to this, but I really praise God.
All praises. All praises, sis.
I feel the love and the comfort, and we just have to keep each other lifted. We have to dialogue.
We do.
You know, as women, we go through so many things, and a lot of times we keep it hidden. We want everybody to think we're superwoman, but we're not.
My life is strong.
I'm strong.
This is true.
But I hurt, too. I have emotions.
There you go.
You know, it's painful, you know.
And it's like sometimes, depending on who you speak to, sometimes when this person is close to you, be careful, because you can receive ungodly counsel sometimes, and it could be all in your benefit. Like someone may say to you, I know you've taken care of those kids, you're helping them, stop doing those things. And then you will not be hurting so much. But the scripture says to not grow weary. What's that scripture? Not to go weary in well-doing. For you shall reap your reward if you faint not. And sometimes we are fainting I have found myself fainting many times here where we just want to just say, I'm giving up. I don't want to do this no more. You're hurting me too much. But
yes,
this is why we come together and we talk, to lift one another up and to make sure that we get godly counsel. So I praise God for you.
Absolutely. I want to say something to the Joy. I want to say something. James 1, 2-8 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And I was loving when you said that you say quietly, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of a higher, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're an unstable person, but it goes together, that you should not grow weary in well-doing, because within good in the season you will reap. And then I always want you to turn to Ecclesiasticus or Sirach 2. He says, my son, the first verse, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation. And someone said it to me, I think it was Sister Aura said to me the other day, the problem is that sometimes we have not prepared our souls. And it says, set thine heart aright and constantly endure, and make not haste in time of trouble, no swift decision. Cleave unto him and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end. Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully, and be patient when thou art changed to a lower state. And you know, we are changed to a lower state when our children or someone comes at us like that. Our spirit is so low. It's crazy. And then
before you go further in that too, Carol, that taking it patiently is the hard part, because that's where the pain comes in at. That's where the pain is when you're changed to that lowest state. That hurts. I'm going to tell you right now. You don't know. People, we talk about it. I talk about it. But when it happens to you, you want to lash out. You want to hurt somebody or something. Yeah. And so taking it patiently, how do we do it? With a closed mouth? I say, sister, like you said, to reach out and talk to us about it, it's a good thing, because we can lift each other up and drag us right back in. Go ahead, Carol. Keep reading.
Verse 5 says, for gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. And I said, just think about that. For gold is tried in the fire. Remember, when they put the gold in the fire, they're doing that to remove the impurities. If you're not being tried, you must not know the Lord. So just know that if you're facing trials, it's because you know him. And that you're being fire. And it says, an acceptable man in the furnace of adversity. Believe in him, and he will help thee. Order thy way aright, and trust in him. But ye that fear the Lord, wait for his mercy, and go not aside, lest ye fall. Ye that fear the Lord, believe him, and your reward shall not fail. Ye that fear the Lord, hope for good and for everlasting joy and mercy. And I'm going to stop there and just give some encouragement, Sister Jackie, and also encouragement to the young lady who wrote that message in, that you know on the Lord's side, because you're running into the devil. If you weren't running into the devil, that would mean you're walking with the devil. So that's why I guess he's telling us to count it all joy when we are falling into these trials, because then we know we're on the Lord's side. And that's it.
Amen. All right, sister. Thank you so much for calling in, and we I praise the Most High that he gave us the strength to come in tonight, because it's a peril. These are perilous times, and I can't tell you how many slips and falls we have just trying to get on the air, just trying to get on the air, slipping and sliding and things constant. I'm going to put you back in the queue, sis. What I'd like for you to do is press 1 to get out of the host queue in case you want to come back in, okay? Because then I'll see your number come up again. All right. All praises to his holy name, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Carol. Carol, you have something to read also, right? Don't you have something?
No, I thought I did, but I don't have
you
anything.
Did.
But I
all right, I got a
know,
couple more, but go ahead.
I can say this before you go on, that in reference to that singing, and I've said this over and over again, that when I came and I received the Father into my heart, I went to my mom's house, and I was talking to her, and she said to me, and I know I've said this, she said, open up the hymn book and start learning those songs. Because those songs will bring you through some perilous times.
Just think about,
I want each one of you to think about one of the hymns that you know that has brought you through.
Amen. I know that's right. I know,
you know
that's
my
right.
mom's
yeah.
favorite one was
It is well
with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Well.
That was her favorite song, and she would sing that all the time. And my mom has all 7 of us going crazy at the exact same time. So we're losing our minds. And that's all I can say, that she had a challenge, you finish one, boom, here comes another one. You know, new devil, new level. It's for every time you have beat one devil down, here comes another one just like the other one, you know? And you just remember, it reminds me, and I told the guy this before, he kept talking to me about how much work he had to do, and he had to get back to the office. I said, let me tell you something. Work is like a sink of dirty dishes. Go on and wash them. Wait till you get to the staircase. You're going to turn around, there's some more dirty dishes in there. It never stops.
So, and that's why we have the Sabbath. Sabbath, because the Sabbath tells us now stop working. Stop working,
that's
because
right.
everything is work. Everything is work. And it's so not simple. But all right, I want to read.
I know, I was searching through the scriptures, and what we were talking about as being quiet. And I saw in Isaiah 32, it says, rise up, you women that are at ease. Hear my voice. Hear my voice. Ye careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. And it says, tremble, ye women that are at ease. I spoke fear the Lord, ye women that are at ease. And to the ones that are careless, be troubled, ye careless ones. So it is so important for us to always have faith and stop worrying. Pray about it and turn it over. I know it hurts, you know, but we have to just pray about it and suck that hurt up, leave it. Get up and go through the day. Peace.
Sister Jackie, do you have a song that you remember?
Sister Jackie's off.
Do you have a go-to song? Sister Betty, do you have a go-to song when your heart is broken like that?
I sing every day. I light up the downstairs. If they're upstairs, sometimes I think on our world.
Mm-hmm.
I love
that. That may sound. She does. She does. That may sound funny, Sister Betty.
I walk outside. I'm humming. I always got a song in my heart.
Amen. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. You said you sing for an hour. I think I almost laughed when I was coming up and when I was going through my trials. I never stopped singing. I was singing all the time. Or I'm surprised my father didn't run me out the house or somebody. I was singing all day and all night. That's all I did was sing. As a matter of fact, when my children, when I took them to the daycare center, it wasn't a daycare center. It was one of our friend's mother's, my whatever. She was watching our children, and she said to me, "You know, your kids sing day and night, sing all day." And she said, "And I keep trying to tell them to stop singing, but I can't because they're in here praising God." She said, "They're singing church songs all day," and they were like 3 and 4, you know, but they were singing. She said they sang all day, and I thought that was hilarious, but it's just, you don't even think about it, but it does lift your spirit. It does,
it really lift your
spirit. But I'm going to throw this out there. Shalawam, Sister Carol, Sister Shirley, I am really overweight, and I feel so ugly. My husband is no longer attracted to me. And as he has stopped sleeping with me, I have tried several diets, but I cannot seem to stay on the diet long enough to make a difference. I am sad most of the time, and that makes me eat. I know you will say nothing can make me do things, and that is what I choose to do. But when I eat a nice piece of cake. What's that buzz?
Whose
fire alarm is going off?
It's mine.
Just put it on mute, sis. Put your phone on mute. Okay. I eat a nice piece of cake or a bag of fries. I really feel better. Almost like I don't give a blank about how he feels. It's how I live, but I know it is not healthy. Please respond, and please do not let anyone know who I am. Okay. That's a rough one. It can mean a lot of things, you know. First of all, being overweight in and of itself is a trial. It's a challenge, and it can cause so many different things in your life and make you feel ugly. I get that, you know, but you can feel ugly without being overweight, but being overweight only adds to it, you know. And so, I mean, she says, my husband is no longer attracted to me. This is some hard stuff to deal with. These are definitely perilous times, and people are hurting about things of that nature. What can we tell this sister? We've talked about being silent about it, but she's here again. This sister has that hurt. She has that hurt that we're talking about, and she's finding ways to deal with that hurt that are hurting even more by eating more foods that are dangerous for her. Anything, anybody got a scripture or anything that we can bring forth to help this sister heal? Go ahead.
I recently lost a few pounds. I don't even know how I did it. But anyway,
I'm not
going to give any kind of diet advice out to anybody because I always say find what works for you, not what works for me.
Exactly.
Because if it stops me from eating something, it doesn't mean it's going to stop you. But what happened to me was I was getting up one morning and a voice said to me loud and clear, you can only do what you want to do if you ask me for strength.
All
you
right.
cannot do mm-hmm. alone there.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I keep remembering to keep praying and asking mm-hmm. the Most High. When I am tempted to do the really, really horrific things, to help me, because
mm-hmm.
I can't do it on my own strength. I have
mm-hmm.
to lean on Him. So
yeah.
I will tell you that this is a hard journey, but you have to find whatever it is. It can't be a diet. This has
right.
to be a lifestyle change that you bring upon right. yourself. And
mm-hmm.
with prayer and
mm-hmm.
supplication, as you said, whatever you do, whatever whether you eat or drink, right? Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
all. And I understand, pray for your husband that he will find
Amen.
Joy in you again. Because
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That stuff that they show them on television with all these temptations, these women half dressed, you know, naked all the time, and they the women that they show, most of them have enough money to fix any of these imperfections that we
mm-hmm.
have on our
mm-hmm.
body. Because those,
exactly.
you know, like. Some of them will remove a rib to make their waist
mm-hmm.
smaller. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
ridiculous
mm-hmm.
what they're willing
mm-hmm.
to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
beauteously pleading. It's not here forever, but you continue to pray, sister, and ask the Most High for strength to come out of this hole because, as my husband always says, like, you're going to lose the weight slowly, but he always says, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You can't, don't,
mm-hmm.
there's no magic pill. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you can do. You and these fad diets, eat this one thing, drink that one. No, it's Alice in Wonderland crap, up and down. That's what that is.
Well,
the one thing I did want to
say to the sister, and let me pull up Sister Betty. I think she's back on. Sister Betty, are you? Is that you, Betty? You back on?
I'm back. It's
okay,
smoke
all
from
right.
the kitchen.
So, okay, all right. Y'all go ahead and burn the house down. But anyway, I just want to say to the sister one thing. And Carol, you've given her the from what I understand, like really great advice on that level. But what I could say to you, sister, is you know. There was, I think it was back in the day, Charles Stanley said not to let yourself get too anything, too angry, too sad, too hungry. And the first one I think was hungry, halt, right? Don't let yourself get too hungry because when you get too hungry, that's when you start doing the wrong thing. So what I would do in a case like that, what might help you is get some things like a salad and eat so much of it that you can't eat anymore. If you know where you're not hungry anymore because you're not going to crave or want to eat if you're full. And if you ate enough salad, you're not going to want it. I remember when I was like on special diets, I would go get the food that I had to eat and I'd fill up on it, even if it was something I didn't want. I would fill up on it, but then after that, it took away my appetite. I didn't want to eat anymore. That will help you. That will help you where you don't have the ability to eat more when it's healthy for you. And not having that stuff in the house, it's hard. Last night, I was craving a piece of cake. It was 11 o'clock at night. I was tempted to get up and go downstairs and bake a cake because I just needed a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I was too lazy to do it. But nonetheless, the flesh will rule you if you let it.
That's
it
right.
will rule you. It
also,
will cause
I would like
you
to add
do
to that.
Okay, go ahead.
I would like to add that you have to have replacement. You know, like,
if I, like fruit is a replacement for something sweet.
Yep. There you go.
You know, like if you can have dry fruits, you can have the fresh fruit. And then ice cream can always be replaced by yogurt, a smoothie. So if you don't have
a cup of tea.
The wrong thing. So the best thing is that when you go shopping, write out a list of things so that you can replace it for the things that you like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Replace it. Maybe you might want to deal with some tofu if you don't want to eat no meat. That's just an example. So you have something that is close to it. Maybe you can make some Brussels sprouts or some squash, which is going to taste sort of like meat. And you can put it on top of your salad with some avocado. But you've got to have the stuff, the good stuff in the house. Get of the bag and put the good in.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
I mean, that's I think to me that's the solution.
Yeah, that will help. There's a lot of things here, and it depends on how overweight you are. Some people call overweight 20 pounds. Some people call overweight 150 pounds. And it's going to, like Carol said, take it a little bit at a time. But I think one of the things is get your mind off of what anybody else is thinking. Get your mind off of how that you're doing this for him, or you want to make yourself more attractive. You want start thinking about what you want to do for Christ. You want to take care of that vessel that the Most High gave you and ask him for strength to do something about it on that level. Let's pray for those that are overweight right now. Sister Betty, you want to pray for those that are overweight?
All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you. We thank you for creating us, because we have been given the gift of life, and we thank you for your instructions on this journey. And at this time, we ask you to give us the discipline, to give us, help us hear what the Holy Spirit is saying on our dietary laws. Help us allow the Spirit to lead us to through those doors of truth, and lead us to the things that we need to have. Open up our hearts, our minds, and let us know that, help us with dietary, because it is, we know that it is so important, because you put it in. So at this time, we are looking to you, Father, because there is so much defile that is defile foods that are getting our attentions. Help us be sure about this, Father, because it is so important to our health.
Yes.
So we're counting on you, Father.
Yes, we are.
Messiah's mighty name.
Amen. Amen. All right, there was a sister that pressed 1 to get into the host queue to say something with respect to this. Press 1 again. We'll bring your call in, because we don't want you out there not being able to speak, and we will bring you back in to the queue so you can talk to us about this problem if you would like. You can press 1 and just get right back into the queue, and we'll bring you back in, okay? But I did see a number disappear. I just didn't get a chance to grab you in, okay? So let me just, all right. And when we see your number, we will bring you in. I see 313 back in again. I'm going to bring you back in real quickly, and then we're going to move on. Erico 313, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion again.
Hi, it's Jackie again.
Hi.
I'm feeling so much better. Praises to the Most High. The heaviness is gone. And what
that
I wanted to say concerning that letter is that whoever wrote that letter, I just want you to know that you are in the process. You started it. Like, you wrote that letter. That took a lot to put that in writing. And respect the process. And it takes time. Be patient with yourself. But, you know, set goals. know, set goals, and there's nothing, you know, we can do all things through Christ. You can do everything.
Amen.
There's nothing
Amen.
If you have Christ in your life, and you do, because if you didn't, you would not have put that letter out. You wouldn't even be a part of this call. So we know that you are a part of the family. And the Most High will empower you to do whatever it is you need to do. And just focus on yourself. Don't even focus on what your husband thinks about you. It's about what God thinks about you. He says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So we're constantly trying to, like, our goal is to measure ourselves to the Word of God. Nothing else. Nobody else. You know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, so therefore, there's no room for being ugly. So you're not ugly. Just know that it's so important to set those goals and make a lifestyle change as far as your diet, like the other people were saying, and get off that roller coaster of eating. You know, realize that this is your life. You know, this is you only get one life to live. Like, this is your life, you know, and you want to just, you know, take everything that's in you and target it towards that. You know, one of the things that I did when I was on the journey, and I'm still on the journey of health, but I joined health groups. There's one group on Facebook. It's called A Healthy Alternative. You have a multitude of people on there, and they're fasting. They're using principles that we don't even tend to use. They fast. They lose weight. Fasting is healthy. You may have to put your plate back for a day, for 24 hours, to break that habit of, I got to have something in my mouth, because that's real. You just have to really just keep it real and know that on the inside of you there's a testimony that you're going to bring back to the body, and you're going to be able to help empower other people. And when you begin to, like, change your appetite, it's going to change your physical, not just your physical status, but medically, because that's what you have to think about. Obesity, it opens the door to a whole bunch of sicknesses and diseases, and we don't want that. We don't
want that.
You said no to that, and that's a big step. So keep it moving. Just keep moving towards your goal, and don't look back. Don't give up. Just move forward in Christ, and that know that he's empowering you to do this. This is a good thing. This is a God thing. And this is something that he's calling all of us to do.
Amen. Okay. That's beautiful, Sister Jackie. All right. So I think that, you know, just reading. Go ahead, sister. I'm sorry.
I would like to say, most importantly, start loving yourself where you are right now. Nothing to be ashamed of. Don't be ashamed of
true.
That. You know,
it's
because
true.
You can get rid of that. You know, we all will go there. You know,
that's right.
So just start loving yourself. And
it's
who says
lot.
That a fat girl can't feel beautiful?
All right, so sister, you're right about that. But you see, it's all this business about what we think other people think and what have you. Let's focus on what God thinks, okay? If we focus on what Most High thinks, then we kind of, you know, be. And let me tell you something. I think we've opened up here that we're allowing people that would not call in to say something and respond to it over the air and getting good feedback and getting good information. I think that's great, you know, that we're able to do this. Now, I have a couple more, but we can go into the program and leave those for next time. What do you guys think? Because we wanted to talk about leaning towards your own understanding. That's what we were getting ready to talk about tonight.
Well, are any of the questions relevant to waiting for that?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, everything is usually I don't understand. That's for sure. But we could wait. We could wait for these next questions for next week if we like. But, what did you say?
I can't hear you. You guys are going away.
Well, what happened? Carol, can you hear me? Hello?
Your voice broke up. Your voice cracked for a few minutes.
Okay, I don't know why. I didn't do anything.
But it seems better now. It does.
Okay.
It seems like it corrected itself. You know, and the only issue that I would want to do in reference to these people who've written in, I think they're kind of desperate for answers, so I would read
continue.
Their questions. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let me see what we got here now. Okay. Shalom, family. My husband is really mean to me. I know I am supposed to be long-suffering and all, but it has been 30 years. I think that is long enough. I think that's long-suffering enough, and he is getting worse. He speaks to me like I'm stupid, and it hurts. Can you help me?
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to say that I'm just hoping that this is not a medical issue, because I've been talking to sisters whose husbands are diabetics and things like that, and this one sister, her husband really has had some challenges with diabetes. She said that that's how she can tell that his blood sugar is dropping.
Right.
And that's really dangerous, because that's when they can go into a coma, is he starts getting very, very agitated and short. So I'm just, you know, hoping that that's not a sign to look out for, because sicknesses can really, really change the way we act.
Yeah, and being married 30 years, there's just, these people are up in age. That's for sure. They're not that young. And the other question is, sometimes when what we don't know what mean is, but are they responding? You know, we don't. There's a lot here that I probably would have to talk offline.
Wow. Yeah.
Go ahead. You wanted to say something. I'm gonna let you speak.
Yeah, I'm just saying that.
Did you say something?
I'm saying that sometimes men are going through some things and they can't articulate like women can, and they somehow they're hoping we fill in the blanks too. You know, like a lot of times a man will say something and they expect us to pick up on it right away. And sometimes we don't. And so they don't know how to express themselves. I mean, because this has been going on for so long, maybe I was thinking the same thing, Carol, was medical too. But also is that something is depressing him. You know, so sometimes, you know, he may need to talk with a man about something, because we don't know what it is. You know, like, you know, that other young lady who said her husband didn't want to have sex with her because she was overweight. Maybe it wasn't just her overweightness. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying sometimes
men are going through some things as well, and they don't know how
to reach out.
They don't talk to each other the way we do, so they become very bitter about some things. And I don't know, maybe when we just don't respond or we respond incorrectly, it just makes them feel even more hurt. And they just bury themselves even deeper into whatever it is that's bothering them.
And
so
I think
without
us doing
all these little things, it is hard to answer a question like that.
But we have to also,
we don't know
again,
how cruel it is.
This is true, too. This is true, too. And we don't know what she's doing either. You know, sometimes we can set up an arena where when what we're saying or what we're doing is almost entrapment. And I'm not saying, because we don't know that that's what we're doing.
Right.
Where we're emasculating or what have you. So I think we have to go back to what we started with the thing that you talked about, Carol, where when we're going through something, when we have to almost count it a joy and ask the Most High to work with us, because what is the Most High trying to say to us? We have to be available to hear what the Most High is saying, because none of us can tell you what to do in a situation like that. You're going to have to talk to God. You're going to have to make sure your walk is circumspect. And that if the Most High is trying to change you, that you're changing into what the Most High would have you be. It's not a simple thing. And I know that. And so the thing is, like what we said too, is learning how to suffer. Long suffering is one thing, but learning how to suffer is another thing. When you learn how to allow the Spirit to work in you, that sometimes these things won't even bother you, because you've learned that this is, you know what, you go ahead and say that, because forgive him, for he knows not what he's doing. Now, we've always said that if she hasn't said he's beating the crap out of her, because I'm not answering anybody to tell them to sit in the house and get the crap beat out of you. I'm not going with that. But for someone that she's saying is mean and he's not, that's something that you're going to have to take up with the Lord. You know, you're going to have to find out what the Most High is doing in your spirit. Yes.
Amen. And I want to say this. That sometimes we have to look at ourselves and our husband as each other's sandpaper. And what does sandpaper do? It scrapes off the rough edges. Maybe this harshness is scraping something off of you that the Most High wants you to change, that you've learned to be as a thermostat, where you're breathing the temperature up and down. You see he's coming in with something harsh. The Bible tells us not to give railing for railing, right? To try your best to a harsh word, stir up anger. If we come back at him just as harsh as he is, it's going to be a knockdown drag out in a little while. And these words are not, this is not easy. Nobody's saying that it's easier said than done. There's no doubt about that. But I want to share something. We have a married couples class. And we met the other day, and the women went over some of the things that they were going over. And I might have mentioned this last week. My memory is like a sieve. And if you know what a sieve is, it's what you like strain spaghetti with, and it just the stuff falls just right through the holes, okay? So what was I trying to say? So we had three things that we were working on, and it was the role of the Holy Spirit. One sister covered that the Holy Spirit is a counselor, and she brought out three different women in the scriptures who were either good counselors, bad counselors, and then there was one that was a great counselor. And we can find lots of women in the Bible that are given out, that were given out some real bad counsel. You know, that wicked, you know, remember with Ahab and Jezebel, she was given out some bad counsel, you know. So that's one thing. My assignment I was to show that we're the helpmate or helpmate within the marriage. And the word help is the word that comes, I lift up my head from whence cometh my help. And that the helper is the rescuer in the rescuer, savior. Now this man may need to be rescuing. You may need to be rescued. But the point is that you're the woman in the marriage, and you have a role to play. And the last one was the comforter. Sometimes when they're harsh, they just need a hug or something. And just asking what's wrong. I know our pride stops us, and we want to take and, you know, get over here. Scrub his neck, you know, like, give me a break, dude. who are you talking to? But you know what? Think about Christ in that role.
Mm-hmm,
he was getting torn up by his own creation, destroyed by the people that he created, spitting on him, punching on him, telling him, hey, who hit you? You know, beating him with sticks and things. And he what was the line that he said when he, the Most High turned his back on him? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani.
Has thou forsaken me? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's how we feel. But you know what? Christ said, I'll never leave you. Never forsake you. Turn to him. Your husband, you know, he has to stand before the Most High on his own. We all probably sound pretty lofty on this phone, but we all go through this. Am I right, ladies?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. We all one day you love him, one day you want to kill him.
That's right. There's nothing new under the sun. Everybody's going through this, sis. So cheer up.
Two wrongs don't make no right.
That's right. Cheer up. Good
I want to read 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. It says, there have no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But the Most High is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So we don't know what you're going through, but the Most High does. And he said he's going to give you a way to escape, and that so that you can bear it. And that is definitely between you and the Most High, where you're going to have to go to the Most High and find out what you can do to bear the temptations that you're going through. Because they're not simple. And this in these perilous times that we're going through right now, you got to be going through something.
You
got to
be.
Even if that situation changes, guess what? It's something coming around the bend that's going to be, just like Carol said, those dishes are going to be piled up in the air again. Maybe your husband won't be the problem. Maybe something else will come that you will have to learn how to overcome, because we have to learn how to overcome one way or the other. If it's not your children, it's your husband, it's your health.
Right.
Take a pick. It's your finances.
The you got to bear. That's what it is. You got to find out
it's
what
coming.
Because
and
you know,
learn
some...
how to overcome.
That's right.
And most times the answer is always inside of us. Because, you know, over the years, you could say something that angered him and never apologize. Or maybe you
this
did
so
something.
True.
Or maybe you acted a certain way. Or maybe you wasn't there when he really needed you. Or he felt, and he's holding those grudges. Times, it takes talking and thinking. When you're quiet and you think about things, the answer comes. You know what it is. So I suggest to the sister to think, you know, about why he's cruel to her. What happened over the years that made him that way, that could have made him like this? And once you think about it, maybe you can go in and try to start correcting it, being a little different, ask forgiveness or whatever, you know.
Okay. All right. I think that we can move on. And
okay.
I would like to read another cry for help.
Okay.
This is a whole different path. Sisters, I am finding myself lusting after brothers in the congregation. Some of them married. They are especially attractive to me. I have not approached any of them, but my soul is troubling me. Should I leave the church? Should I confess to them? Should I confess to the elders? It's a rough one.
But she said they're chasing her.
Nope, she did not say that.
No.
She says, I am finding myself lusting after brothers in the church.
Right.
Okay. So this is a tough place to be. This is a tough place to be, but you know what it's called? It's called sin right now. Just so you know.
I was just going to say that. That's what it is. Just like any other sin. It's something you got to deal with. How do you deal with sin? You confess it with to the Most High. And
that's
you keep bringing it up to him and telling him, you know, that this is a stronghold you have.
I don't find it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, sister. I don't find it beneficial for her to go confessing to the brothers.
Me
they don't need to know that. I don't need to know any of that. That just makes it worse. You know, go to the and just know that you're out of order. Okay. You're going to have to know that. You're going to have to deal with that because that is, just like you said, Sheila, any other kind of sin that you could be struggling with. There's no one's going to tell you, okay, it's okay. You know, maybe he shouldn't be with that woman. Maybe he should be with you. That's the answer you're going to get. And this is not even a question because you know what they, and then the question, should you leave the church? What kind of statement is that? You know, the church isn't doing anything.
Deal with the sin. That's what
you
got to deal with.
Got
to
deal with that.
She needs to check, sister. Are you listening? You need to check your vanity. Check out your vain glory. Because what is making you lust after other people's husbands or the men in the church? What do you think you... What are you thinking of yourself? You need to really check this. You got to put that in check.
Absolutely.
It's in you. It's something, it's some seed that is in you and it's vanity.
You
got to get rid of that. You got to work on that.
I want to say that maybe she needs to think about what is she doing in her spare time. Is it something that she's doing that's making her think about this all day long? You know, is she, you know, she doesn't walk into the church, I don't think, with, let me just see who's here today, woo-hoo. But what are you doing when you're home? Are you watching pictures on television that are raising these thoughts in your brain? Because remember the scripture says, in James, that we're carried away by our own what?
Lust. There you go. Yeah.
And that's
so something's going
thinking.
On inside of her. Yeah.
So
we're gonna
start on the scriptures and stay away from all those weights that so easily beset her. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like whatever
exactly.
It is causing her to do that. Like Carol said, the movies that we watch at home. Or just listen to somebody else talk about how they may be experiencing something like that. You know, watch who you're with and watch what you watch and watch what you hear.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Sister Betty.
No, I said yes, absolutely.
Yes. And see, I'm thinking, too, that I think in this instance, I could be wrong, but I'm thinking that you're looking for someone to say what you're doing is not wrong, but you're not going to get that because what you're doing is wrong. And it's something that if you don't control it, it will get out of hand and you're going to have to rebuke that spirit that's within you and pray and ask the Most High to help you to stop looking in that direction. Because you will fall into sin. Someone will entertain that. You will fall into sin if you continue on that path. And so you need to deal with it.
Just like
that desire
you
to
just
be the center of
about,
attention.
There's no temptation that has taken you. It's not common to man, but the Most High is giving you a way out. You know, because it will be there. And then it's up to you to make that choice. You know, he says, choose life or choose death. And the only way you're going to be able to choose life is to keep staying in his word and confessing this sin. You have to, because otherwise you're not going to choose life. Just like they said, when you want to do right, evil is always present, and it's present because we keep dealing with it. We keep playing with it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We are playing with sin and thinking, well, just a little bit. Let me put my foot a little bit further. You know, we're playing with it and then wondering why sin has this stronghold on us.
Yeah.
You know?
Someone wrote in that it's possible that they haven't had some physical dealings in a long time and are utilizing that as a part of it, you know? And I kind of get what they're saying without, you know, going into detail of what they're saying, because, but let me tell you something, it's still sin, and you better stay away from that. You better stop looking at any, like Carol said, any of those pictures on TV that are arousing that spirit in you, because I know right now, I know that it's not impossible to stay away from that, you know, when my husband was alive. And he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. For 6 years, I had to suffer. For 6 years, I had to figure it out. And this is a guy sleeping next to me, you know. So you're going to have to figure that out. You're going to have to get your mind, set your affections on things above, and start figuring out how to walk with the Most High God and get your mind off of that before you fall into sin or even cause someone else to fall.
Right.
It shows to me that if she has a need to be validated, like she wants to be noticed, you know, and so she has to come to grips with that, you know.
Someone else is calling in too. Go ahead, and when you finish, I'm gonna bring the caller in. Go ahead.
Yeah. She has to start thinking, put that energy someplace. Holy, she's got to think more of herself because right now she's probably coming to church and she wants to be seen. She wants to, so she'll make that mistake by putting herself out there because she wants to be seen so bad. And there are women that feel like that.
Or that maybe makes her feel better. Go ahead, Carol. Go ahead.
Before you bring it in, I just want to read that scripture in James. And it's James 1. And I'll start at the 13th verse. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn, away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, what does it do? Bringeth forth death."
Yes.
Right?
Somebody's going to die. Somebody will die in that situation if we're not careful. And either you have to die to the sin, or the sin is going to kill you. So death has to come. You're going to, one way or the other, you're going to have to, you know, it's like some blood has to be shed here, you know, on that type of a situation. You're going to have to either get under the blood of Christ, or you're going to be in a lot of trouble, or the blood of Christ is going to, you know, one of those things. So let me bring in area code 248. Area code 248.
Hi, lady.
Erica.
Shalom.
Hi, how are you? Shalom.
This is Eloita from the Detroit Body.
How are you?
Good. I just wanted to comment on the lady who says that she's finding herself attracted to men in the body. I know in today's society, women are used to mingling and interacting with men, but... You know, women are supposed to basically be with other women. A lot of times women will engage men in conversation and mingle when there's no need to be talking to them. I mean, do you see where I'm headed? You know, we can, a lot of conversations we can have with our sisters. We don't really need talking to men, nor, you know, socializing with them like that.
That's right.
There's a division, and you know, you talk to a man, then you he's showing you, not through any fault of his, but he's showing you his personality and joking with you. You don't need to be doing that with men. Unless you know, talk to your husband. Exactly. Stay with the women. I mean, why?
Exactly.
I just don't really get that. And the other thing, it seems like she's dwelling on those thoughts. She's kind of making that a world of hers. She needs to turn away from that and shut her mind down. We have control over our thoughts.
That's right.
Seems like she's creating this whole fantasy world, and she's getting pleasure even though she's not acting on it. You know, just like you said, you can conceive of it, and then something's going to eventually happen.
Right.
You need to dwell. So yeah. I would suggest that you spend more time with the sisters and align her thoughts with the Most High. I mean, we don't really need to. I don't really get why women are always in guys' faces. I mean, you know?
Validation, honey.
But that's not, you can't say, what is that? What kind of validation is that? We can validate.
I know.
Because
there are certain kinds of women who wants to be, you know, especially women who are seen as very attractive. These women have problems. They have issues with getting that under control. And when they see other women doing well and their husband loving them, they jump into them, well, I could mess that up. You know, I've heard stories from the Christian church where, you know, especially the pastors that are successful, a young girl that came into the sanctuary while they was talking, and daddy was there, and the pastor was there, and she told the pastor, "I know you want this."
Oh,
you know.
Yeah, but that's just a wicked woman.
Something
that's just,
young.
That's
I'm
it,
young,
yeah.
And I'm.
That's
you don't want your wife anymore. So yeah, you got those that are dealing with this, and they can't control it.
Yeah, but
they can control it, but they're having too much fun.
We're supposed to be striving to do the right thing. That you just described to somebody who turned their lives over to wickedness. If she's going to approach a man and be that, say those kind of things. I'm telling you, this lady who...
Yeah, but you know, sister, when you say you're trying to do the right thing, you know doggone well the right thing is not hanging out with somebody else's husband. Or talking to somebody else's husband, or lusting after somebody's husband. There's nothing right thing about that. And if you can bring it out and say, you know, this, let me be a little bit more sympathetic here.
Right.
This is almost the same situation you might have with somebody that's gay. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They come into the body, and they're having these desires. Let's just say they're having a desire to, they're lusting after the same sex. Now, this is even more difficult because then you got sisters hanging out with sisters, all right? And they're fighting that demonic spirit. So if she's asking for help because she's fighting this demonic spirit that's within her, we got to give her that help. How is that help coming? That help comes by her, like you said, praying about it, and she's got to get those thoughts out of her head. It's almost like, you know, the scripture says, if your right hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. So if you're thinking that this is what's pushing you towards this man that you're lusting after, then you're going to have to find a way to get that off your mind where that's nothing to do with you. That you refuse to.
Right.
I like how, and I hate to say it, but I like what Donnie McClurkin said, that he refused to have a relationship at all because he did not want to have that lust in his head, so he would not lust after a man.
in case he would be with a woman and be in that body. He said, forget it. I'm going, what's the word for a man that doesn't do anything?
A eunuch.
He's going that route. And I bless the Lord for that in a situation like that. So when you've got this kind of situation where this kind of thing is out of control, because we're not struggling with it, it sounds like, oh, you're full of crap. But it might be bigger than we think it is. You know what I'm saying?
What's the sister's name they called in just now?
I don't know.
Eloisa, could you help us out and pray for this? Can you help us out and pray for this sister that wrote this text to give her strength? Could you help us pray?
I'm not good at praying. I'll try.
All right, sis. Thank you. And let me just say something before you start the prayer. Whenever someone says that to me, my mind goes to the part in the Bible where Hagar and Ishmael were in the desert when she had run away. And the angel came and said, I heard the cry of the baby. And that baby did not pray. That baby did not pray. That baby was crying. The Lord hears our prayer. We're not here.
Amen.
This is not a contest.
This is so true. Any few words you say, sister.
Even if you just do the Our Father prayer, turn it to the Most High. He'll turn.
Amen.
The scripture says that the Spirit makes groanings for when we to interpret what we're saying.
It says none of us know how to pray. That's why the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8:30 or something like that.
That is what the disciples said. They said, please teach us how to pray. Right?
I've been publicly praying.
It's all right. It's okay.
I will pray. Blessed are you, Lord, Most High God, the maker of the heavens and the earth and all that is there. Most High God, we thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy and your grace. Most High God, we pray that you would align our minds and hearts with righteousness through Christ. Strengthen us to do what is right in your sight. Most High God, give us understanding and wisdom and let us see our sin and discern our sin and give us the strength to turn from our sins.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Most High God, we thank you in the name of your only begotten Son, our salvation.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sister, for that.
Thank you for that. And anyone else that's struggling with any kind of sin that, I'm going to put you back in the queue, sis, any kind of sin that just so easily besets us. Because this is what happens to us. And sometimes, like I said, because we're not struggling with that sin, we're not merciful to them.
Right.
Because it's like, look, you know, that's ridiculous. You need to cut that out. You know, that's how you feel. But if we flip it around and put it to something that we're struggling with, like the sister with eating. I'm struggling with eating. I'm struggling with that, you know? Why? And it feels like I can't stop. I don't want to, you know, because it's like the food, it's got a stronghold over here. You know, and you don't want to wait until it gets to be a problem where it's bigger than you are. And that's what seems to be happening with some of these people where then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is bigger than me. I can't deal with it. I got to reach out for help for somebody to help me with this. When we know where to reach, we know where to go when these problems are coming to us. But we are hoping that someone will understand our problem and go along with us. Don't worry about that, sister. Keep on eating. You're going to be okay. It's nice to be fat.
or something like that, you could tell us. We would appreciate that. Or it's a natural thing for you to be, you know, lusting after a man. That's a natural thing. It is natural when it's your husband. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to have to pull that in gear. So it's just a lot that we have to deal with. There's a lot of prayer that we have to set our affections on the Lord. Remember, we're in the last days. Perilous times. We thought about the perilous times that it's going to be hard to deal with, but we forgot we ain't got for 5 minutes. We forgot about that. Christ
and you know what else we forget?
The door. He's at the door. And we don't have time to be caught with our pants down, literally.
That's right. I guess that's another question you got to ask yourself. You know, what would we do if Christ came through that door? You know?
It's the truth. It's the truth. These
love
are the perilous times.
Lovers of pleasure and not
there you go.
Some pleasure in lust, and there's some pleasure.
Absolutely.
It's a truth that will set us free. And a lot of times we don't want to admit where it's coming from. Sometimes a lot of these people, they know where that is coming from, but they don't want to have the truth inside of them. They don't want to admit the truth. They don't want to be free from it because it feels good. And that's vanity, because, you know, when you're out there in the world and you are a good-looking person, that's power. Because you're used to pulling the men. You're used to getting all that attention.
And the
same thing with the men, that power of that machismo, you know. So, and when you mentioned the gay men, they will come in, you know, and they think that, you know, how they look and how they could just get any man and turn him like them. They don't know what they're doing.
It's really a scary thing. And I keep going back to that scripture, that the good that I would do. And people feel like, well, you know, the good that I would do, you know, I can't help myself. Nope. It's because evil is present. Get rid of the evil. You're going to have to get rid of the evil. And if you can't get rid of the evil, you will fall into sin. You will. So what's going on in your life that's evil? What thoughts are you allowing to germinate that are evil? You're going to have to get rid of them. And you have to make a choice. Is it more important for you to walk with God? Or is it more important for you to have what you want these thoughts to continue to manifest within you? And so those are the choices that we got to make. And I can't express it enough that, the scripture we read in the beginning, that we're living in perilous times, but the end. It is the end. Never mind. So I think we can all kind of hitch our wagon up to the idea that it's going to be over soon. Whatever is happening, we can bear a little longer because we got 5 minutes.
My husband preached this Sabbath. He kept saying that these are the last of the last days. We're just coming to the end. And a couple of sisters were like, when he talked about some of the things, you know, how you'd find the women, silly women laden with divers lust. Let me read that scripture for this sister, because this might help her a little bit. Hang on for a second.
And I get where you're going with that, because when you're dealing with those problems, it can seem like you can't do anything about it. You can feel like that, you know.
Right.
I can't tell you how many gay sisters or gay brothers that I've spoken to that will tell you they really can't do anything about it.
mm-hmm. then that's who they are. But go ahead.
Okay. Let me read this. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to read a bit of it just for the comfort mm-hmm. of our own hearts. This mm-hmm. know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For mm-hmm. men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, mm-hmm. boasters, mm-hmm. proud, blasphemers, mm-hmm. disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, mm-hmm. without mm-hmm. natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort, listen to this, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I want to stop there. The part that I want to say is, you know, creeping into our house. You keep lusting after these men. They're going to know you're looking at them. And they will come to you eventually and lead you into sin. Led away with divers lust. And you know, how many women, how many of us, be honest to yourself, remember even in our youth or whatever, how much did it take for us to be led away into sin with our divers lust, our divert lust, these men coming in and finding us being nothing but silly women. We have to hold on to the word of God. We have to meditate on his word and know, got to get that strength, because we all, no matter how old you get, you will find yourself in that position. Because let me tell you something, the devil don't take no time off. You might.
No, he
you
don't.
Might take a vacation,
he don't. He don't. He's busy, especially on the Sabbath day. You know it. He's in there. He's
you know,
there. You're
I
on
heard
your way
a,
to church and look out.
I heard a couple of women saying, "Oh man, he was stepping on my toes today." But one gal was like angry and felt like he was pointing the finger at her. And I really want to say that sometimes we come into the congregation and we hear a sermon that is really, really hitting home. And all I can say is, strumming my pain with his finger.
It's the truth.
All right. Now.
And you really do. Sometimes the Most High sent you there just to hear that lesson. Because, I mean, there's been a couple of times I'm sitting in the service and me and my husband looked at each other. We said, did he hear what we were talking about this morning? Was he there? You know? Because it's just like, oh my goodness, this is really hitting home. And we need to straighten ourselves out. And we thank God for the condemnation that we can get from hearing these things when it comes at us like that.
I love the transparency. I love the transparency.
Absolutely.
Because this takes
guts
and
gumption
to come
forth.
Oh my God. Yeah, man.
All right.
We have
one
to always
more.
Let the spirit of truth set us free.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we know the truth inside of us. We do.
Yeah. I got one more, sisters. It says, Shalom, is it sinful to be angry silently? I am saying silently because I don't talk about it. I don't talk back. I don't talk about it. But inside, I am hurting so much about it. I still do the things I'm supposed to do. I cook, I clean, I do give due benevolence. But in my heart, I can't wait till the moment is over. Am I a hypocrite?
Well, Let's think about that.
Hmm.
Christ said if a man looks upon a woman with lust, he's what? Committed adultery.
Right.
Someone in our heart, if we hate someone in our heart, have we not murdered them? Have we thought about how he could die? Or yeah, you know, because sometimes you have to do that because the person could literally beat you up, right? So it's just like you better be silent. I mean, you know, think about it. When your boss comes on strong to you, if you have a boss and you want to just jack him up, you know you can't. Like, I was thinking about that movie a long time ago I watched. I think it's called Two Can Play the Same Game. When the girl had one of the girls get in her face and say something, and she took her fist and just boing, and the chick flipped over the table. But then when you saw it, she was just thinking that. She didn't actually do it. But they showed her actually hitting her and, like, you know. But when she said it, it was like, it's just funny. So I just want to say this to the sister in all seriousness, is that Philippians 4 says, 4 and 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You can't
sit around
and think those thoughts, because believe me, you're going to blow up, you know, eventually, and somebody's going to get hurt. It might be you.
And the Most High said, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. You know what I'm saying? Be a cheerful, whatever you're doing. So you got to get that out somehow. I know that, like we're talking about, speaking right then may not be good, but you got to give this to God and let him handle that and tell him how you feel, because even though you're not saying anything, like you said, you're dying inside. And, you know, that can turn into bitterness.
You know, someone sent a text message in response to what we said and in response to now. And she says that, and this how we forgot about it, I don't know. We may have mentioned it. Maybe I was, you know, absent in my mind. It says, these kind come out only by fasting and prayer. Our sisters need to fast and pray to receive deliverance from lust. Greater is he that is in her than the spirit that is within the world, right? Greater is Christ than the spirit that is tempting her. And that's such good advice. And that's why I love this forum, because even when we forget, somebody else comes out with it. And they bring it forth, and that's the truth. You have to start fasting and praying, and that's once you see that this thing is bigger than you, that's when you gotta say, okay, you gotta love Christ more than you love yourself. But here's a cry for prayer. One more.
Yeah, this situation is heavy.
Hang on, sis. I want to read this, and then you can come back in, because I don't want to let the time go by without me reading this, and then you can come back.
Yes.
Okay? Sis, I don't know the proper way to get this message to you for the podcast that is live right now, but can you speak on this? Over the past year, I lost a very close relative, and although he was walking in truth, I am being attacked in my prayer life. Each time that I pray, my mind is overtaking with thoughts so much, I sometimes feel that I can't complete a sentence of my prayers without great distraction. I keep this issue before the Father, and I have a group of sisters that pray with and for me, but I am ready to get past this. Can we help her? Anybody got anything to tell the sister what she can do with that distraction?
She's still breathing.
Say that again, Bet.
She's still grieving.
Yes. Yes, she's still grieving.
And there's a time for grieving.
Yeah.
You know, it's been it's been not too long.
How long did she say? How long did she say? Let's see here. Past year. Over the past year, she lost a person. So
it takes time. It takes
it's not simple. I'm going to tell you something. I know when I lost my husband, my first husband, I did not know that I was in such a bankrupt state until I came out of it. And that was a couple of years. So it's like sometimes you don't realize how beat up you are over something.
Mm-hmm.
However, sometimes a problem is with God in the sense of why did you take him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we have not bowed to the sovereign hand of the Lord. Now, I almost don't want to even go there because I remember one sister that was Mother Adams. And when I would talk to her, when her daughter died, her daughter was 38 years old. And she said to me, he took my baby. He took my baby out of here. I mean, I trembled because even though that's the sovereign hand of God, how do you tell somebody, look, get over it? That's not something that you can do. It's like this is something that's like, I don't know how to touch your heart with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The one thing we can say is, I think it's in Thessalonians, it says that we're not without hope because we will see our brothers again and our sisters again. We have to kind of go there and realize that there, too, we got 5 minutes before we go in, too. We all have to go that path. But it's still, I get the distraction. It's not simple. It's not simple. And I'm praying that the sisters will continue to lift her up in prayer. But I'm going to give this sister a call and talk with her, too, because you want to just make sure that you're not angry with God, you know, because we can be. We can be. That why did you do that, Lord? You know, things we're never going to understand. There are things until we meet Christ, until we meet the Lord. There are so many things that we have to just stop and say, you know, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I don't want to be tempted on that level. I'm asking the Lord not to bring me into that kind of temptation because that's some heavy-duty stuff. And maybe she has to do what you said in Philippians, put her mind to think on these things. Think on the good things. Think on the sovereign hand of the Lord. You know, it's not simple. When we lost little Stevie, and he was only, 15 years old? I mean, how many times did that loop through our head? What happened? Why did that have to happen? I don't think his mother's straight yet. Over that.
Yeah.
Is some hard, because the scripture talks about the sting of death. It is a sting.
It is.
Yes.
And the only thing that we have is that hope, that, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Because Christ overcame, and we know that the resurrection is there for us. We know that that's there. And we've got to kind of really get that down in the city of our soul where we truly believe that we will see our people again. I think maybe we've lost faith in that. You know, one pastor that we know, when he lost his wife, and he prayed that prayer of faith and all of that. And then when the Lord took her anyway, when she died, he lost his faith. He lost it.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, we are not the last word. We're not. Time and chance happens to us all.
That's right.
And Lord, we don't understand these kind of things. This thing with death is not, there's nothing natural about it. Nothing.
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 No matter how old a person is, no matter how old, they could be 106.
There you go.
Nobody wants to say goodbye. And I want to say this, that it's so unnatural that, and this is unashamed, guys, I mourned over a dog for 2 years.
I'm sorry.
A dog. That's why I don't want any more animals, because it's hard enough with humans. I'm in there on the train crying over a dog.
No, they do become
yeah,
like
well,
that.
Well, at least you love the dog.
They
at least
are
you love
your buddies,
dog.
Man. You come home
yeah.
and they're right there at the door, so happy. And then to come home and find him stretched out dead, it was just so heartbreaking. I felt
yeah,
like I had
yeah.
just been there. No,
yeah.
So.
Yes, but, you know, sisters, what about the sister that is benevolent, that is finding it so hard? Did we give her something satisfactory or some? I think we sort of, like, skipped over her.
I don't know. I don't remember. We could back up, but
you
want to
pray for her, Betty? Maybe Betty can pray for her.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Father. Burdens get so heavy sometimes, you know. It's,
mm-hmm.
And we get so weary. And we don't know how to handle it. It's except we know that we want to be within your will.
Amen.
We don't want you to be angry at us.
Right.
Then we don't know how to stop being angry and having this burden.
Yeah.
We want to cry out and get rid of this burden.
Please.
So, Father, we're asking you to show the sister what she must do. Guide her, Father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Allow your Holy Spirit. Allow her to open up her heart and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and lead her. Lead her to the way, the truth, and the light.
Mm-hmm.
Help her to see what is going on, what she must do. Help her to find that peace. And help her to open up, to express to her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Give her some help and needed help so that this can pass from her. This is a heavy cup. And she said that she feels like dying. And I can understand. We all can understand what's going on. We have sympathy with her, but there is no answer that we can really give her. You know, but just accept that you are the answer.
Yeah.
So, Father, we ask you to be with her this hour.
Yes,
in Yeshua's mighty name.
His holy name. His holy name.
Amen. His holy name.
All right. All right. I wanna also pray for the sister that is asking for help here, that just wrote in and asked that these distractions go away. And I think a show of hands, anybody been praying and been distracted, you know, because, you know, you can start. One of the things you have to do, I find that sometimes when we're in prayer, keep the scriptures in front of you. Open up the scripture, read a scripture, pray, sing songs of Zion with it. And then there are many voices out there. So don't be surprised that these distractions do come in, because these voices are going to come in and try and make you think, say something. So even whether sometimes like I would be singing and be in the spirit, and then maybe a long note would come out to distract you or something or you hear something said and whatever, or a noise will be made, but that's all right. Go back, keep on going, keep on staying before the Lord, and just rebuke that devil, rebuke that sound, rebuke that thought, and keep on going back, because those things are there to distract you, to get you up off your knees, to bring you away from Christ, and things of that nature. And if it's not one thing, it's the other. So, Father God, holy, your Son, Yeshua Christ, Lord, we come before you. Before we ask you for anything, we want to thank you for everything, Lord. We thank you that we have the time to stand before you, Lord, and that we can come, even though that sometimes we're distracted. And one thing I do want to say, Lord, is that sometimes when we pray, if we pray and the prayer is coming out of our mouths out loud, we get blessings, Lord. It's when we close our eyes and we try to pray without the voice. But the scripture says in the Psalm, I will let my voice be heard in the morning.
Yes.
So let's pray with our voice by ourselves in front of you, Father. Yes. We don't need anybody else to pray with us. But if we will open our mouths and start crying out to you with our voice, with loud, saying prayer unto you, the distraction won't be there, Father, because we're talking to you. And then, Father, we want to get silent before you and just kind of listen to the peace that you bring after we speak and say, after we praise you, Father. After we get finished telling you how wonderful you are and how glorious you are, that you woke us up this morning, Father, that you lifted us up out of our bed, Father. You didn't have to do it. You didn't have to. It's sometimes we get so complacent in our prayers, Lord, that we're laying still in the bed with the sheet covered over our heads. And, Father God, we thank you. No, Father, we will rise before you and step out in the daylight, in the sun like Ezekiel, and pray before you.
Yes.
And Father, we love you. We love you, Father. And we want to tell you that we love you. And we ask you to forgive us that our prayers are distracted, Lord. We ask you to forgive us that our minds are not on you as much as they should be, God. And help this mind to be in us that was also in Christ Yeshua, Lord, that we get ourselves into that place of prayer, that we can be that close to you, Father. In the name of Yeshua Christ, I pray for sister. I pray for the sister that asked for this prayer, that you could take her mind off of the things that you've done and put her mind on the things that you're going to do in her life, Father, the things that you can do for her, the peace that you can bring, the peace that you brought to the brother that you took home, Father, and being grateful that he did know you and that he is now in the bosom of Abraham, Father. We have to go with that trust, and we thank you for that.
Yes,
Father, and we praise you for all these blessings in Yeshua's name.
Thank you,
Amen. Yes, Lord. And I don't want to let that pass us, guys, because the truth is that when we do pray out loud by ourselves, praying out to the Lord, the distraction is a lot less.
It's a lot less.
Because your mind and your mouth, those words have power. They have power when they come out and you're praising the Most High. But when we just got our heads bowed and you're standing there and somebody else is praying and you're just listening, what did I make for dinner last night? You know, do I have enough gravy left for dinner? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. You know,
and even when you're reading the word, if you kind of just read in your mind, sometimes you'll drift. You know, but if you read out loud, it'll take you out, because what is it? Faith cometh by hearing. By hearing. And you don't hear it in your mind. You hear it when you say it.
Amen. So, and you don't even realize you're hearing it. We got a couple more callers. I want to bring in a caller. Okay? Area code 512. Area code 512. You're on the air.
Shalom, sisters.
Shalom, sisters. How are you?
Shalom.
Okay, so my comment is first, I think all of us from the time we wake up until the time we go to bed, we should catechize. And that's asking questions and answering those questions to ourselves, asking questions to ourselves and then answering those questions. Mm-hmm. According to the belief that we have, which is the Bible, and according to our understanding of it. And when we do that, we really take that time that we need to take to look deeper into ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sister Betty hit on something really, really, really important. And that is that know the truth and the truth will set you free. So whether it's whether it's a thought that we're having, let's say it's a thought that we're having. Okay, so open up the Bible and now this is from somebody who has overcome quite a lot in his life. And so I'm speaking from experience and spiritual maturity, and it took a lot to get where I am. And there was a lot of pain and heartache and sorrow. So it's not an easy journey by any stretch of the imagination. But nevertheless, we can get there. So when we know the truth, we open up and we find the truth. Okay, so let's say it's a thought. Well, Yeshua says, think on these things.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us things that are praiseworthy, that are a good report, that are lovely, that are pure. So we play that against the thought that we're thinking and say, okay, what we are thinking, does that fit into the scripture or the renewal of your mind? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You know, think on heavenly things, not earthly things, on and on and on. And then say, you know what? Should I really be thinking these things? Because Yeshua said, if we are lukewarm, and this is his truth, and it's harsh, but we need it. If we're lukewarm, he will spew us out of his mouth. And then I think what we do, whether it's eating something that we know we shouldn't, or blah, 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 on and on and on, that know the truth and the truth will set you free. If we, like, just... because food was brought up, so I'll go there too, and say, okay, if we're going to eat something, let's find out where does that food come from before we put it into our mouth. Or let's figure out, you know what, we slept 6 hours. Is that the right amount of time to sleep? Should we really be sleeping 7 hours or 8 hours? Question everything. Like Elder Ricard teaches, he'll bring up the holidays, for example. So you think about, okay, you know, Christmas, you think about Easter, you think about Thanksgiving. Well, when we celebrated these things, the issue is we never just went ahead and did it. But did we look and say, what is behind Thanksgiving? You know what I mean? What is behind it? What is behind Christmas? What's the real meaning of it? What's the meaning of the January New Year? What's the real meaning of Easter? And plus, I think another thing all of us struggle with is know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's a huge one. I think the third thing we really need to focus on is we give ourselves, and I don't know why we do it, but we give ourselves options that are not options for us. They're not options for us. We are commanded to think a certain way. We are commanded to eat a certain way. We are commanded to live according to the word. We are commanded to live differently, to be different from all of the other nations. We are commanded to do it. It's not a request. So why give ourselves options that are not options for us? They're options
for us. This is true.
Other people have options. If they want to be promiscuous, they have that option. We don't. If we eat whatever we want, we don't have that option to eat whatever we want. We don't you know what, let's stay up all night. Let's drink all the alcohol that we want.
She's right.
Good point. Very good point.
The sinners have these options. We do not have these options. Israel is a different people. And you know,
I love what you're saying.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Of course, I appear as a Gentile. So whatever I am, I am. But that's not the point. The point is, when I say we, I just, you know, I'm in the mindset of with all of you. So that's why I say we. We give ourselves
options.
We don't have options. We're not permitted to sin. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't sin and fall short and we ask forgiveness. I get all that. But we have to close the door and stop giving ourselves options to do this, the other thing. Let's weigh everything we do against the word and say, do we really have this option that we're giving ourselves?
Amen.
I gotta give you a hand on that. That's some real talk. That's some real talk right there. We don't have the options to do those things. I love it, sister. That is powerful.
Next time, Sister Diane, don't come on with that mess, girl. You hurt me.
I'm in here trying to dress my wounds right now.
That you are, oh man, right on time too. I mean,
on time. That was a word in season.
I got a trauma center down the street. I'm gonna have to head for the trauma center. See y'all later.
That was a beautiful thing to say. That was wonderful. I love it. Because with everything that we talked about tonight, it lays it out straight. We don't have those options. Oh my goodness! In these perilous times, we don't have those options to deal with. Oh, my goodness, Sister Diane, thank you so much for that word. She brought the word. Well, guess what, guys? It is time to go. Sister Diane, I'm going to put you back in the queue. Okay? And thank you again for that. That was beautiful. I'm glad I brought her on. There was one other sister that was in the queue, and that was Sister Jocelyn, but I don't see her anymore. And we are going to have to... we're going to have to bow out now because we have reached the end of our time tonight. And I am so grateful. We didn't get a chance to even talk about leaning towards our own understanding. So the next time we come home, we can go there. Okay. But nonetheless, I think, and that's provided we don't get any more of these questions like this, because I think, like Carol said, this is more of an emergency. When people are writing in and asking us these questions and wanting to get answers for this, and us all to be able to share this information and bring it out like this is wonderful. It's wonderful. And I appreciate all the commentary that everyone came with. And so, Sister Aura, you wanna close us out in prayer?
Okay. All right. Gracious and all-wise and eternal Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that we had to share, Father, with sisters from all over, Father. Thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to have this time to hear and listen to our cries, Father. We thank you for that, Father. And we pray and ask, Lord, that you forgive us, Father, because sometimes we don't answer in the way that someone wants us to, Father. And sometimes we are critical, Father, of others, Father. We pray and ask that you give us the patience and the mercy, Father, that we need for others, Father. But yet, Lord, mm-hmm. when Diane got on the phone and she told us, Lord, we don't have those options, Father.
No, we don't.
We're speaking about women who are supposed to be about you, Father.
Yes.
So our first
right.
option is to you. We don't have all these options to just sit around and do whatever we want to do. We're supposed to be about our Father's business, what thus saith the Lord, Father. So, Lord, we pray and ask, Father, that you just take us through the week, Father, being mindful of what we say and do, Father, and keep praising you, Father. Keep bringing our sin up to you, Father. Help us to repent and to continue on in your word, Father. Help us to help each other, Father, to be strong in your word, Father. These and many things we pray in your precious Son, Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Everybody have a blessed and wonderful night.
Yes.
And let's keep that thought in our head that we do not have the options. I love it.
Absolutely.
All right.
I love
everyone, praise all. Praise.